celebrated this morning. One verse that stood out to me that Isaiah read there in Romans 12, verse 3, says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." So, I think of that verse quite often, that not to think more highly of myself than I ought to. In order for us, or for me to be humble, I need to commit myself under the Word of God, commit myself to God, and not go above and beyond God's Word, what it says. Try to walk in it and be a blessing. So for the message this morning, I want to talk about humility. And I just write that on the board, humility. Humility. There is a lot to talk about humility, more than I will get to say this morning, and more than I can explain. But it's something we all need to have is a humble heart. Is humility. We need to have humility in our hearts. The quality or the state of being humble of humility is the state of being humble of mind or spirit. Being humble is having or showing a consciousness of one's defects or shortcomings. Not proud. Not self-assertive, it's modest, lowly, unimportant. And the word self-assertive meaning is somebody or is giving your opinion in a powerful way so that other people will notice. That's what that word self-assertive means. It's you want to be noticed, you want to be seen. And that is not humility. Or the word modest is having or showing a moderate or humble opinion of one's own value, abilities, achievements. Quiet and humble in appearance. Lowly is someone who is humble, meek. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And the word humble, it's a word, some people call it humble, and I looked in the dictionary and it can be used, it is either one, humble or humble. So the word humble for the modern English speaker, for the modern English speakers, its meaning is having a low estimation of one's importance. But the Greek word using it in Jesus' time and used the word that is in the New Testament carries a range of meanings, including gentle, kind, mild, considerate, forgiving, generous, and probably a lot more. But it's more than just one meaning. It carries a lot of different meanings in it. So as we talk about it, as we go through the Word of God and read about it, then just keep that in mind, that when I use that word humble or the humility, it is more than one, just one meaning. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, 29, and 30, you don't have the page there, I'm just going to read it here, I got it written down. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He tells us to come to him, and he will help us. Take my yoke upon you. That's Jesus talking about. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. So before I go on into the message, I might give you a little story of a lion. Some of you might know the story, I'm not sure. It might be kind of humorous in a sense, but just to bring out a point there. There was this lion. He wanted to prove his mastery over the animal kingdom one more time in the jungles there. He was proud of himself, and he wanted to get the approval of all the animals that he was the king of the jungle. He had much confidence in him, so much that he went right on past the small animals over to the tiger, and he said, Mr. Tiger, who is the king of the jungles? And the tiger said, why, you are, Mr. Lion, you're the king of the jungles. So he let out a loud roar of approval, and then he went on over to the bear, and he said, Mr. Bear, who is the king of the jungles? And the bear said, well, you are Mr. Lion, everybody knows that you are the king of the jungles. So he let another roar of approval, and then he went on over to the elephant, and he said, Mr. Elephant, who is the king of the jungles? And the elephant took his trunk, wrapped his trunk around him, and threw him up in the air a couple times and beat him on the ground five or six times, and then he threw him in a nearby lake over there. And the lion comes crawling out of the lake, all beaten and battered, and with his bloody eyes, and he said, now, elephant, just because you don't know the answer, you didn't have to be so rude. He didn't know the answer, but he said, you don't have to be so rude to me just because you didn't know the answer. So, yeah, that's just a little story there about the lion and the bear. Both of them are pretty strong animals, but the elephant, I guess, showed him that the lion is not the king. Not the king of the jungles there. So how do we act, you know, if somebody is trying to be a boss over us or something? Do we act like the elephant, or should we just let him be the king of over us, or the ruler over us, or however? So anyhow, true greatness lies not in seeking recognition, but in recognizing our own limitations and choosing to serve others with a humble heart. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but think of yourself less. Say that again. Humility is not thinking of yourself, is not thinking less of yourself, but think of yourself less. Allowing space to uplift and learn from those around you. Some people think that humility means putting themselves down. Truly humble people compare themselves to Christ, realize their own sinfulness, and understand their limitations. On the other hand, they also recognize their gifts and strengths and are willing to use them as Christ directs. Let's look at a couple Bible verses that talks about humble. I'm just going to read a couple verses. I got them written down here. You don't have to page to them if you don't want to, because I probably read faster than what you can keep up with. Proverbs 16, verse 19 says, "Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." In Luke 14, verse 11 says, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Proverbs 29, verse 23 says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." And there's a couple of verses there in Luke 18. You can paste that one if you want to. Luke 18, verse 9 through 14. It's talking about the Pharisee and the publican. Luke 18, verse 9 through 14. Says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other one a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." The Pharisee was telling God how good he was. And, you know, he does all this and that good thing. He's telling him what kind of person he was, how good he was, and everything. And the publican went down recognizing his sins and begging for mercy. Self-righteousness is dangerous. It leads to pride, causes a person to despise others and prevent him from her or from learning anything from God. Don't let pride in your achievement cut you off from God. Self-righteousness is not a humble spirit. First Peter 5. Let's go to First Peter 5. In verse 1 through 6, I'm just going to read through there. It says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not with constraint, but willingly, not with filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensembles of the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." So Paul here there is giving some instruction. Both young and old can benefit from, or Peter, sorry, it's not Paul, it's Peter. Both young and old can benefit from Peter's instructions. Pride sometimes keep the elders from trying to understand the young people, and young people from listening to their elders. Peter told both young and old to be humble and serve each other. Young men should follow the leadership of older men, who should lead by example. Respect the elders, and elders should listen to those who are younger than you, and be humble enough to admit that we can learn from each other. But we often worry about our position, our status, hoping we'll get proper recognition for what we do. But Peter advises us to remember that God's recognition counts more than human praise. God is willing to bless us according to His own timing. Just remember that we are here to help one another. And that is what God wants from us, is to humble ourselves. No matter how old we are or how young we are to work together and respect one another, whether we are old or young. I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles and read a few verses in there, where Solomon there, it talks about Solomon. 2 Chronicles 7. And in the chapters just before that, chapter 6 especially, I think, is Solomon asking God to make provision for the people when they sin. And they sacrifice a lot of animals there. I think it's in verse 6 or chapter 6 or maybe even chapter 7. In chapter 6 it says so many animals that they couldn't even count them. But then I think in somewhere in chapter 7, I think I read, you know, it did number the animals, but I'm not sure. Maybe that was a different time. But it's a huge amount of animals. You know, they sacrificed them and did all those things. And here, where I want to read at is in chapter 7, verse 11 through 15. It says, all these, I'm at the wrong one, I'm in 1 Chronicles. You go to 2 Chronicles. Okay. There, where it says, you know, the King Solomon offered, that's in verse 5 there. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So you know it must have been a big group of people. They sacrificed that many animals. But in verse 11 then is where I want to start reading. It says, and Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came in Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And his own house he prosperously affected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I sent pestilence among my people. In verse 14 is what I want to focus on. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. So that is God speaking there to Solomon, telling him that if the people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, he was God answered with four conditions for forgiving. There, number one is humble yourself by admitting your sins. There in verse 14, he says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and pray to God, asking for forgiveness." Seek for God continually. Turn from their sinful behavior. True repentance is more than talk. It is a changed behavior. Following these steps will lead to forgiveness. God will answer our earnest prayer. If we come before the Lord in this way and ask Him to forgive us our sins, humble ourselves and come to the Lord. In that way, He will forgive us. That's what in the chapters 6, I think there is what, Solomon had asked God to make provision for the people for their sins, and then this is what came to pass. They did all those sacrifices and then came into the house of the Lord there, and then that is what God told Solomon, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. That is our merciful God that we have. He will forgive our sins if we come to Him confessing and repenting and change our behavior. But first, we must humble ourselves before we can do that. Humble ourselves and come before God, so that He will forgive us. There are many people in the Bible that are example of humility. The mother of Jesus, Mary, is an example of humility in the New Testament. So when the angel Gabriel told Mary she would give birth to the Son of God, she responded in a this way, "Behold, thy maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word." That's in Luke 1, verse 38, I think, when the angel came to her and told her about that, and she's like, "Let it be unto me according to your word." That's humility. If you can just tell the Lord with a sincere heart, "Be it unto me according to thy will." Joseph learned humility through trials and suffering. I think we're very familiar with what happened to Joseph there. He learned humility through all those trials and the suffering. Paul saw himself as the least of the apostles and the chief sinners. Paul glorified in the grace of God and in the cross, not in self-righteousness. Humility in the Bible is often presented as meekness, obedience to God, respect for others, and submissiveness. And the opposite of that is pride. And pride is something that we don't want to allow to grow in us, because it takes us down the wrong road, takes us into sin, and that's not where we want to be. John the Baptist is another one that was close with humility. When he said that, he said that Jesus must increase, he said, "But I must decrease." He's giving us a picture of what it means to be humble and seek Jesus. Jesus before ourselves and our own gain. He knew that John knew that he must decrease and Jesus will increase, and to recognize that and to say that to the people, that was being humble when he said that. There's many examples in the Bible of humility, of people that were close with humility. And later on we'll read an account in about Moses. Doesn't the Bible say he was the humblest man or the meekest man maybe on the whole earth? Embracing humility can help us align with God's will, experience God's grace more fully. Think about others and not just ourselves. Focus on important things instead of evaluating our own status. And here are a few correct characteristics, if I can pronounce that right, of someone who is humble. There's many more than this, but I wrote a few down. Is aware of weakness and has a desire to learn and improve. Number two, at peace with themselves and others. Number three is admits when wrong. Number four is slow to offend and quick to forgive. Number five is ask for help. Number six, appreciates and values the strengths of others. And number seven is takes criticism. We have to be at a place where we can take criticism and not let it take us down when it comes our way. And we have to have peace with ourselves, or have peace in ourselves and with others. Peace with God. And when we're wrong with something, we need to admit it. And not just blame it on somebody else, but admit it when we're wrong. It's many things, many different things we could talk about. But I was thinking about it, and humility is actually simple. If you just think about it, it's easy to, or it seems like it is. It's simple if you just want to, if you just think about it, take time to think about it and do it. I believe humility is the foundation of all virtues. In 2 Peter, return to 2 Peter again. Chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 9. Now, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And on down the line, knowledge and temperance. If we add to our faith, it's virtue and knowledge and all those, and we then it says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." But if we lack these things, then he says we're blind and cannot see afar off. So I believe there that virtue there, I believe, like I said, I believe that is, or humility is the foundation of all virtue. We have to humble ourselves before God will forgive us. Have to humble ourselves and come under the Word of God and let God, let Jesus be our King. And if we do that, then God will forgive us our sins and He will show us what to do, and that makes us open to receive instruction. And we will allow Him to guide us and direct us. So I thought I'd read a story out of Numbers 12. It's about Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. So if you want to page to Numbers 12, we'll read an account there that happened to Moses there. And it was Moses' own sister and brother that were putting him down, putting Moses down. And it's Numbers 12. Okay, let's just read Numbers 12 there, starting in verse 1. It says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." So what I get out of there is that it says, they spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman, the woman that he had married. I don't know what it was all about, but it seemed like Miriam there was something about that woman. Maybe she didn't appreciate or something, and she started talking about Moses and saying there that, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And it says there, the Lord heard it. It's going in verse 3 there. It says, "Now Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out." So the Lord didn't wait very long. He said he spake suddenly. When he heard there that Miriam and Aaron were talking about Moses there and putting him down, he didn't wait long. He came and he called Moses and Aaron and Miriam unto them. It says in verse 5, says, "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him. in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. Here he's saying, you know, the prophets, what the prophets will do, he will make him known through him. But he says here, my servant Moses is not so. Who is faithful in all mine house? And him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in the darks, in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then, where are you afraid to speak against? Are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. So it seems here like the Lord was standing up for Moses, and he's like, almost here like he is better. Moses is even better than my prophets, you know, where he said, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, may known myself unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. But he's saying that, but Moses, it's not so. I speak to him mouth to mouth. I get closer to him than I do to my prophets and so on. Anyhow, I just thought it was kind of interesting how the Lord protected Moses there. And you don't even hear really that Moses says anything about this. He just took it, and the Lord came down and took care of it for him. But Aaron, I don't know, Miriam's name is there first. I don't know, was she the one that started it? But I kind of get the idea. She was probably the one that started it. And Aaron should have just told Miriam, we don't talk against Moses like that. You just be quiet. We don't want to go down that road. But he did not. He went along with Miriam there, and they talked against him. And then that is what happened. The Lord came down and spoke to him there. And going on there in chapter 10, verse 10, said, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. So just think about it. This is two brothers and a sister there, and then the Lord there gave Miriam the leprosy, and Aaron, and you know, Aaron confessed, you know, that they done foolishly, and he confessed, and he said, we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. He confessed that they sinned, but he said unto Moses said, Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprosy. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us. So then Moses was concerned about it too, I believe. You know, I'm sure he didn't want to see that leprosy, her sister have that leprosy and stuff. So then he cried unto the Lord, to ask the Lord to heal her. So then the Lord, told him to shut her out of the camp for 7 days, and then after 7 days she was healed, and they brought her back into the camp. And just the meekness and the humility that Moses has, and there's different stories throughout the Bible that we could read, but I just thought this was an interesting one there. The humility that Moses had, you know, with Miriam and Aaron there, were complaining about him there, and he didn't say anything about it really. And yet he prayed for Miriam later on there. And had to think of another account where of Aaron. That was Aaron maybe I was thinking about, where Moses was up, I think, on a mount somewhere praying. He has been gone for quite some time, and the people wanted a god or something that they can touch or feel. And then Aaron told them to bring their gold, and he took the gold and stuff from him and threw it in the fire, and out comes this calf. Or that was his story. You know, Aaron had a maybe a little bit of a problem with that, because this here was not the only time he went along with the crowd or went along with something like that. I was just thinking of that other account where Aaron went along and with the crowd, and then Moses had to be there for them again and help them to, that God would forgive him and all that. So that's kind of the message I have for us today. Just hope we can learn from these, and hope it was an encouragement. Yeah. And let's remember to allow God to work in our life, to be of a humble spirit, and then God can take us and make us into His image. And I need that for as much as anybody else. I'm not trying to say that, point my finger. I'm not trying to point my finger against anybody. It's just I need that encouragement, and I need to be more of a humble spirit. And may the Lord bless you all.